Well, with that, before we go here, let's dive into the Word of God here. So turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. It's got a simple message series that we're going to be in. These next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and. And today we're going to be speaking from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. But these next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit in prayer, the Holy Spirit in evangelism, the Holy Spirit and water baptism, and then the Holy Spirit and spirit baptism. What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? We're going to be talking about these four things, which will lead up to the day of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday, which is June 5th. That's when in Acts 2, when the Spirit was poured out on the church. And so with that, let's dive in here into Scripture here. All right, today we're going to be talking about prayer. The Holy Spirit and prayer will be our focus today. In Acts chapter 3 and 4, the preclude to our message today is that, if you remember, the disciples had just seen a lame man who was probably about my age, who was at the temple. He was paralyzed for 40 years. He was healed in front of all the religious leaders, everybody in the town, everybody in the Sanhedrin, the Jewish pastors, leaders, the rabbis. They saw this, and everybody could not deny that this man that was once lame was healed, and it was all done in the power of Jesus. No one can deny that. But what the issue was, okay, how do we squash Jesus and keep control and power and religious rules? They were trying to keep the disciples kind of hemmed and chained in. And so that is the pretext here to our story here in Acts chapter 4. But prayer, we all know, prayer is communication. Prayer is communicating to God, having a relationship with Him and talking to Him and fellowship with Him. But we all know that sometimes in our own words sometimes have a limitation. Have you ever been there with someone when you try to communicate with someone and you're looking at someone and you want to tell them something and it just doesn't seem to flow? You think it up here, but you just can't transmit it out through your mouth. You ever been there? Or have you ever had a situation where you were hoping, you know, you're trying to send an email and the email just won't go through? You lost your internet signal and you're like, oh, I just can't communicate, right? We all have limitations in our natural selves, our natural communication. I want to show you a funny commercial here. It came out last year for the Super Bowl. It's for T-Mobile. It highlights Tom Brady. He was on the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He's called the GOAT, the greatest of all time. He's won over 6 Super Bowls. Anyhow, he just announced his retirement, and T-Mobile was kind of capitalizing off his retirement, but then now he was going to come back from retirement. But in here, it's going to highlight what happens when we have a broken communication, or what happens when we can't communicate clearly to the person or to the Father what's in our heart and mind here. So, all right, Joel, you have the sound up for me? I'm gonna make sure you have that sound up for me. You good? All right, here we go.
Gronk.
What up, TB?
What do you think my next move should be? Give it to me straight. Maybe it's just time I hang him up.
I got one word for you. Retirement. If you retire now, you're gonna be walking on soft sand in a week.
Just come to Florida
and feel the wind in your hair. Retirement is like winning another one. Maybe I'll even join you.
On the Spotty Network, this is what Tom heard.
If you retire now, you're soft and weak.
Just come to Florida and win another one.
Maybe I'll even join you.
Just go win another one.
Like it's that easy, Gronk. Maybe it is.
I still feel like I have a lot to accomplish.
My goal is to win one more.
And Gronk's coming with me.
I'm retired from retiring?
Mom, where are my football pants?
Don't trust big decisions to just any network. Go with T-Mobile, the go in 5G.
And I'm not soft or weak either.
T-Mobile is the leader in 5G.
All right, now that's a funny commercial. I don't know who you are. I mean, I'm not a fan of Tom Brady, okay? All right, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. But however, that is a funny commercial. In the sense that we all have been there, right? You get a text message, a call, it breaks up, or you get email, and something gets jumbled up. A lot of times with prayer, prayer from us going to God, sometimes it gets jumbled up. We know that prayer is spiritual communication with God. But sometimes our natural communication, our natural transmitters get all jumbled up or get all just, we're humans, right? We get going with life and things just, we just feel, have you ever been there where you feel like you just can't pray what you want to pray, right? You ever feel that? You feel like, man, is God, are you listening? Am I even doing this quote correctly? You know, you ever had those thoughts? You're like, am I just praying to the air? Like, what's going on? Sometimes we've had those thoughts in our spiritual walk from time to time. But today I'm going to remind us that when we pray with the Holy Spirit, that God hears us every time and every time. All the time, God hears us. And that with the Holy Spirit, we have a direct line. We don't have a wireless carrier. We have something that's better than T-Mobile. We have Jesus. And those thoughts, man, Jesus takes those and he hears those. And we don't have any breakup in our coverage area when we pray in the Spirit. And this is what we want to dive into here about the Holy Spirit in prayer. So turn with me to Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31, and let's read here. It will not be on your screens, but let's read it here. It says, "When they were released, they, meaning the disciples, went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed one. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand had in your plan had predestined them to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Let's pray, church. Father, these next few moments, we just ask that you would speak to us, that you would strengthen your word inside of our heart and mind and soul. And we pray that you, Holy Spirit, would most of all encourage us and fill us with you, baptize us in you so that we would be bold and then we'd go out and be a witness for Jesus. That we would proclaimly and loudly proclaim Jesus here in Sioux City and wherever we go. And we ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. And amen. In Romans 8:26, Paul talks about this. He says, when we don't know how to pray, he says what? He says, the Spirit helps us pray. And today, we need to be reminded of that we don't just pray on our own, but we need the Holy Spirit to be in us and to help us to pray and to be able to communicate to the Father so that there is no broken signal and that we can receive the right words of God, the right thoughts of God from God the Father himself through the Spirit. And so today's theme is this. Week one, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit assists our prayers. The Holy Spirit assists our prayers. And as a church, we need to remember this. The early church knew that the Holy Spirit was there to Emeril Lagasse would say, kind of bam, to kind of spice it up, you know, to make our prayers, so we would know that they are powerful and effective for tearing down strongholds. So I got just four quick points for us here today. The first is this, the reason for prayer. What's the reason for a prayer? You ever ask yourselves that? Why do we need to pray? Well, first is this, prayer is spiritual communication with God, and most often it's based upon our own natural situations and what we're going through. Right here in our story here, the disciples were told in the beginning of chapter 4 that not to go preach in Jesus' name, not to go teach about Jesus. They wanted them to squash Jesus. Hey, just be quiet. Take Jesus, put him in the back room, lock the door, throw away the key. We don't need that guy out here. But disciples came to their other friends. They were concerned because are we supposed to not teach about Jesus? Are we supposed to fear for our lives? Are we supposed to go take Jesus somewhere else and not take it to our own brethren, their Jewish friends and neighbors? But the answer was no. They might have been scared. They might have been fearful. The Sanhedrin could have killed them, could have given them over to Rome. They could have flogged them. A bunch of things could have happened to disciples. But they were bold. They knew that the reason for their prayer was to be empowered. They needed their fellow believers to come around alongside of them and help them to make the right decision, to be empowered, to stay the course. In Acts 4:13, Peter, it says that Peter was filled with boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit. The disciples knew that the Spirit would empower them again, but as any human, if you and I, if the government came in today and lined us up and said, hey, choose God and you're going to die, or be quiet, don't talk about Jesus in Sioux City and we'll let you live, well, what would we do? What would we do? We talked about it a few weeks ago, talking about when it was the persecuted Sunday, about with the in Romania, and we talked about that. What would you do if you were given the choice? And the disciples here had the choice to either to stop talking about God or to be bold and empowered by the Spirit to keep going on. And they chose to go to prayer first. James, the brother of Jesus, who historians and biblical theologians believe he was here at this time with them, he wrote in James 5:13, he says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." And so prayer was their first response, and prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. How many of you today, when something comes our way, when a tough situation at work or in your family or a sickness, we go to somewhere else first other than God in prayer? We think, oh, prayer is that. Oh, that's what the real spiritual, you know, that's what the old people in the church do. No, I got to go over here for this. But church, the disciples, when they were threatened, what did they go? They went to prayer. They said, hey, let's gather and let's pray. Because we know prayer is powerful and prayer changes things. Like we've heard today from our prayer and testimony time. Think of the most pressing, troubling issue right now in your life. Take a second. What is the most troubling, pressing issue in your life right now? What is that? And did you go to God first for prayer? Or did you seek some other remedy to fix that? I would encourage us today that when we pray urgently, we welcome God's full help in our situation right now. So here's what we're going to do. Take that thing that's in your mind right now. Take the thing. Whatever is that most urgent thing in your life right now, you're like, God, I need your help in that. And let's pray right now. Let's just pray right now. Father, we come before you. And God, we just take these few seconds. And God, we lift up whatever is pressing in our life. Whatever is coming against us, no matter if it's in our health or in our marriage, a relationship, a job, whatever it is, Jesus, we come and we submit it to you. Jesus, we come to you first and we say, we need your help. We need you to show up in your power and might and do something that's beyond our natural capabilities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn to God first. The reason for the prayer was they were in danger and they needed the spirit empowerment. And they turned to God first. Secondly, the content of their prayer. Look at verse 24 here through 28 is what they really the content of their prayer. It says here, it says, and when they were together, they lifted up their voices and they said, Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through your mouth of your father David said, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? And then jump down here with me to the verse 28. It says, and do whatever your hand and your plan has predestined them to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. The content of their prayer was reminding themselves and speaking to the world, who is this God that they were praying to here? Prayer is spiritual communication by expressing our greatest vulnerabilities to a trustworthy God. They started off and they said, hey, God, we praise you. We know you've created everything, but we have these people that are coming against us that are trying to squash us, kill us, destroy your son's name. God, we know you're all powerful. You made all this. But God, we need some help. We're struggling. We need your power and your might to show up. Prayer normally has two typical components, and we see this all the way going back in the Old Testament to the New Testament. And right here in these same verses, 24 through 29, we see this. They started off with a confession of God's greatness or adoration. Have you ever been there? Have you ever heard this way to kind of pray, simple way to pray? Start with praise first. God, you're holy, you're magnificent, you care for me, you made me, I'm made in your image, I know you love me, you sent your son for me. And then what do we normally do? We see this in this scripture here, and we see it the rest throughout the Acts and the epistles, about then it comes the petition. We know Paul said in Philippians 4:6, that he said what? Do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and thanksgiving, with petition, present your request to God, and the God of peace, who transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage us in this prayer, just like we see here in this story, is that we need to express who God is and his greatness, but also express our vulnerabilities. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting or been at church or been with someone and you know they're going through something, yet when they pray or open their mouth, they act like, man, everything is just great, everything's perfect, and you're like, you just told me, you know, your dog died, the car, you know, got ran over or whatever hit, and you lost your job, but you're not being vulnerable or open. You're just saying, oh, God, I'm thanking you for everything. But there's a component to praise God. But also God wants to know our vulnerabilities. He wants to hear our open confession. God, we need you. And in this verse here, the disciples didn't say, God, you're the maker of heaven and earth. And, oh, God, everything's hunky-dory and great and peachy keen. And, God, thank you for everything. They said, no, God, we praise you. You are high and exalted, worthy of all praise. But, God, we got the Sanhedrin breathing down our necks. They're telling us if we don't stop, they're going to kill us. God, we need your help. And so in prayer, the content of their prayer was praise and vulnerability and openness before God, their Father. This vulnerability, this goes back to Psalms 2. This is a direct quotation of King David about how David was crying out saying to God the Father at the time, why did all the nations plot against your son and against the kingdom of Israel? Why were all the nations trying to snuff out the name of God, of Yahweh? And David, in Psalms 2, if you read on, he was asking for God to come and rescue the nation. Come, God, and deal with these people that are trying to squash your name. And so in prayer, we need to lift God's name up, but we also need to be vulnerable. Some of you might struggle with being open before God. Have you ever been there? How many of you? Yeah, you've been. I've been there before. God doesn't want to hear my complaints. God doesn't care about my situation in X, Y, and Z when he's got 7 billion people to worry about. I mean, you know, there's global war going on, there's famine, there's atrocities. You know, does God really care about me, about the situation? And the answer is, we should all say, is yes, he does. God wants you to be open and present your request. I've said it before, a lot of times as being a kid's pastor, you always get that one kid that wants to pray for his football team. Or, you know, that they would win. I had one kid, I remember one time, he said, hey, can I pray for my dog? I'm like, oh, is your dog sick? No, he died 2 weeks ago, but I still want to pray for your dog. What do you do with that? I was stumped as a kid's pastor. I'm like, God, this one isn't, nope, it's not in Scripture. Okay, what do you do? But the child was vulnerable because he knew that Jesus loves the little children, and he cared for them, and he knew what Peter said, that cast all your cares, or all your anxiety, because he cares for you. Today, if you're struggling with vulnerability in your prayers, I encourage you, come before God the Father who cares for you, who wants you to come in your praise and your thanksgiving, but I also want you to come with your requests and your petitions. It has to be both. And I want to notice in this story right here that there is no there's no content assessing or grammatical criticism of what the disciples prayed. There's nothing in Scripture that says, hey, they prayed this, and then there's a footnote. Well, they did this wrong. They were too open and honest. They were too lacking in faith. You ever heard that in prayer? Your prayer doesn't lack faith. No, the disciples lifted God up, and they said, God, we need you. Here's where we're at. Meet us at our need. And God did show up, and he did that. In our prayers are always good as long as they're openly and honestly expressed towards God. When you try to fool God, well, who are you fooling? You're fooling yourself. Try to act all high and mighty, or God, I'm good, or I'm some super Christian. No, we walk in power and victory, but we're also human in our own condition. We need God to show up. And here, disciples had an open and honest prayer before God, and God showed up in their midst. Thirdly, the context for the prayer here. Look at verse 24. When they heard it, meaning disciples heard what was going on, the persecution that was going to come from the Sanhedrin, when they were saying, hey, stop talking about Jesus. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. Prayer is spiritual communication with God, and it's any place and any time. Now, in here, in this verse, and throughout the book of Psalms and the Hebrew practice, and later on in the New Testament, we see a lot of times when the people were gathered, it says that they were gathered and they lifted their voices up together. Or your version might say they lifted their voices in unison together. Now, this isn't talking about a liturgical prayer. I know a lot of times we talk about, you know, liturgical prayer or praying together in unison, especially in charismatic, you know, Pentecostal churches. That gets everybody scared. Oh, that's order. That looks like some other church. No. This is speaking about them together, praying out loud. Now, there's a time when we say prayers together, right? Like the Lord's Prayer or repeat Psalms, stuff like that. And that's okay. It's not wrong. But here in this context and through the rest of the book of Acts, it talks about how the group of believers lifted their voices out loud together. We know that prayer usually has two contexts. We know that there's individual prayer and there's group prayer. How many of you, by rate, you would say, man, I'm good with individual prayer. Man, I can pray in my mind by myself. I'm good praying to Jesus. But when we get together, boy, that's when, you know, sometimes it's hard to pray together or out loud together with one another. Have you been to a prayer meeting where someone, you know, pastor asks, hey, will someone lead us in prayer? And it's like crickets or a youth group. You ask teenagers to pray, and it's like everybody's silent. Holy Jesus, whoo, we're praying. And no one wants to pray. Now, there's no condemnation in that. But Scripture gives us the clear analogy that we as the church, the bride of Christ, we are to pray out loud. In the Hebrew practice, it shows us that they lifted their voices out loud. There is inward prayer, yes. And there's a time for that. But there's a time to declare to the world and to the principalities of the darkness out loud that who do we call upon? We call on the name of Jesus. And we do that out loud together so that the world and people around us hear who is our hope in and who do we confide in. And so I just want to remind us here, we're really familiar with group prayer. Individual prayer. But I want to remind us about examine what is group prayer? The overwhelming majority of prayers according to Acts are group prayer. Group prayers. I don't know if you know that. When you read through Acts, a lot of them are always out loud and in groups together. Group prayers invite and demonstrate unity. In Acts 1 and 2, if you look at this, if you read the narrative, it shows that the church was together. Church, when we pray together, isn't it interesting? When we pray out loud and we pray together, what happens? Man, my grudge against Dan, boy, it goes away. I realize, man, God, I need you. God, I need more of your power. I mean, I can't be mad at my brother. Man, He's pouring his heart out to you. Man, we got to come together. When we pray out loud and together, man, those differences and the grudges, God reminds us that, man, we are only unified through the blood of Jesus, through him alone. And lastly, praying out loud together in a group requires an increased level of personal humility and vulnerability among each other and before God. People have asked me, Dan, why do we do prayers and testimonies out loud? Why do we do that in service? It is for this very last point. It reminds all of us that none of you are better than me and I'm not better than you, that all of us have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Some of you have been serving God many years, and man, praise God for that. Some of you are new to the faith, but we are all growing together, and we all need to be unified, and we all need to be open and vulnerable in humility, as Scripture says. In humility, consider others better than yourself. In humility, we need to be open with one another. Now, I myself, I'm still growing in this, and man, probably like all of us, we could raise our hand. God, help all of us to be open and vulnerable and to bear ourselves to one another, especially in this room right here. If we're all professing the name of Jesus, church, we should be the most open church, right? We're all flawed. No, come on. We all have things we're working on, but praise God, we're more than conquerors. We've been redeemed. We're new creations. We're not held in chains and sin and darkness. Man, I'm no longer a liar, a cheater, or you name it, whatever was in our past. Man, we're set free, but we're all working through stuff. We're justified, but we're all in that process of sanctification, right? So to all of ourselves, you guys know me, get over yourself, right? Get over yourself. Be open with one another, right? Some of you, man, some of you, you guys are role models for me. Man, I wish I could be like this person, that person in here. Man, the way you walk with God, you communicate with the Spirit, the way you witness, man, it challenges, convicts me. The way you love your kids, the way you love your spouse, man, I got so much to grow in. But church, it's okay to acknowledge your faults and grow. And through group prayer and praying out loud, we acknowledge that and we demonstrate that we are not the saviors of ourselves or the answers to our own problems. We say, God, I'm communicating out loud to you, saying, I need your help. And I'm declaring to anyone who's listening that there is a God in heaven who heals and who hears and restores. And we call upon the name of Jesus and we speak that out loud. That's what group prayer does. Lastly, last one here before I close. This is the outcome of prayer. What's the outcome? What's the outcome of prayer? Look here at verse 31 here, the end of this. I love this, how it encapsulates this end of this part here. It says, and when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Church, that's empowering for us today in our world, in our culture, here in America. Prayer is spiritual communication with God, and it's with the Spirit's help and with the Spirit's reward. Have you ever tried to do something on your own and you know God wasn't in it? Or you try to go up and be super spiritual. Oh, I'm going to be super spiritual. And you know the Spirit wasn't with you. The Spirit wasn't communicating with you. And you fell flat on your face. I've been there. I try to act more spiritual, more haughty, or be more pompous and more puffed up than I am. And man, it wasn't there. It fell flat. The Spirit is there with his help and his reward. Prayer has to be done in the Spirit. Not out of our own striving. Not, oh, I've got to pray 14 hours a day because that makes me really holy. No. Prayer in the Spirit can be a minute, and that can be more powerful than 10 hours of praying. Or you might need to pray 10 hours of Spirit, and that can be just as powerful as 1 minute of praying. But we need to pray in the Spirit because the Spirit wants to infill us and embolden us to speak loudly and clear to our generation about who Jesus is. Not only do we pray by the Spirit assisting us, but we also have a response which is Spirit-empowered prayer. Right here, verse 31 speaks that the Spirit fills us when we pray. And when we pray, the Spirit fills us to go out again to be a witness. And that's the reward we get to see. There's two types of Spirit-assisted ways to pray. And in Corinthians, Paul dives into this. But the two things are this. We pray from our mind, our natural language, but it's influenced by the Holy Spirit. As earlier, Paul wrote in Romans that the Spirit helps us pray. So we all know that we pray in our mind, and we pray with our normal, we'd say, English vernacular of who we are. But the Holy Spirit helps us pray. As it says, when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit helps us pray. Then there's the praying from your spirit, our prayer language, as Scripture talks about. And that's influenced by the Holy Spirit. How many of you have had a situation in your life, and you didn't know what to do? And you just said, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. And the Spirit started praying through you. You started either speaking in tongues or you started praying and you just felt like the words you were praying to God was, man, these aren't my thoughts, but you felt like the Holy Spirit was giving you insight and prayer of how to communicate and how to pour out your heart before God. And Paul reminds us here in 1 Corinthians 14:14, he says this, he says, what am I to do? He talks about this. What am I to do with a spirit infilling? He says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I also will sing with my mind also. Sometimes in the charismatic world, we think that being spirit empowered means that the spirit takes over and we have nothing else to do. We just kind of, it's almost like a zombie-like trance, or it's kind of what some of the pagan cultures would do, where the demonic forces would come over you and take over that spirit. I don't know if you've seen it or heard some of the missionaries talk about demon possession. And sometimes it can, in charismatic churches, it's taught that just the spirit takes over and you just kind of just don't do anything. But Paul reminds us in Corinthians and the teaching of the Spirit that we have access to the Spirit, that we're still in control. The Spirit is subject to the prophet, to the person. And yes, we pray in our mind, but the Spirit prays with us, and the Spirit enhances our prayers. And we have an ability to control that and know when the Spirit is empowering us and is inside of us. The Spirit never just comes in, takes over, shuts down our natural operating system, and then we wake back up and like, oh, what happened? What did I pray? Or what did I just do? That's not what Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that the Spirit, as we walk along and commune with God, that it empowers us and it illuminates our mind and our spirit to pray in the Spirit, to pray things that we would never pray. How many of you have ever had a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, or you've spoken in tongues, or you went up and to pray with somebody, and you're like, I don't know what to pray, Jesus, but I got to go over and pray for Bill. Bill said that, you know, his wife's leaving him, and he lost his job. I don't know what to pray. All of a sudden, you start talking, and all of a sudden, man, Bill is like, oh, my gosh, oh, I felt the Spirit. Oh, man, Bill starts weeping, and go, oh. Bill gives his life to Jesus, and you're like, what did I just pray? I don't know, but I've been there. Can I be honest and vulnerable before you? You guys know sometimes I stumble over my words, and I trip on my words, and all of a sudden, the person's like, man, the Spirit spoke to me. I don't know this Jesus you talk about, Dan, but that's the soul. I felt something inside of me. That is the Spirit going ahead of a Spirit-empowered prayer. And that's praying in the Spirit. And even when we don't know what to say, the Spirit carries us along and helps us to pray. And there's times when we are in our natural world. There might be another situation where I go over to Brother Dan here. I'm Dan too. So Brother Dan, and we're going to pray for Dan. And I know what to say. I've been there, and I know what to pray. And the Spirit helps us, give us, maybe fine-tunes those words in our natural language. And then Dan is still like, whoo, man, I felt that. Boy, I needed that prayer. Thank you. Both ways the Spirit works, and we work with the Spirit. We don't have to give up our natural operating system, our natural abilities, what God's given us to pray in the Spirit or be carried along by the Spirit here. But this verse 31 reminds us that when we pray, when we're gathered together and pray in His name, the Holy Spirit will come and fill us up. What's interesting here is here in verse 31, it says that they were filled, they were all filled with the Spirit. Now, what does all mean? All means all. Didn't say that Peter and James were the only exclusions and everybody else. No, all. Peter and James and John, all these guys were here in chapters 1 and 2. They were already filled. But yet they were here again in the prayer meeting. They were praying, and it says they were all filled with the Spirit. So that speaks to us that, church, we don't just get filled up today on Sunday, and then tomorrow you're good. You know, your tank's full the rest of the week. No, you need to be prayed and filled up with the Spirit again and again and again and again. Right? The Spirit, it shows us here through Acts many times, that it says, whenever you see this, it says that they were all filled. If you look through Acts and go through the narrative, you're going to see that the same people that were filled in Acts 1 were here at this place. And in Acts chapter 8 and 12 and 17, a lot of these guys were at the same places, and the women too, and they were filled again. And church, I want to leave you with this, that we are to be Spirit-filled in our prayers again and again and again. We need the Spirit to pray through us and help us to pray. Help us to communicate with God. When you feel like that, you have that, like that commercial, that miscommunication, things are getting jumbled up, take a minute and say, Holy Spirit, pray through me. Come, fill my mind. I feel like there's just a block there. Holy Spirit, fill me again. Help me to pray with boldness. Help me to pray and communicate with God our Father. Have those God thoughts so I can go out and be a witness. So why do we need to pray? It's we need to pray because we need God. And here's some takeaways for us. We most often pray with praise and petition. Church, don't be just a complainer to God in prayer. But don't just praise God, never bring your petitions to Him. He's the God, our Father, who cares. Do both. Bring both to Him. Secondly, we pray both individually and in groups. I think a lot of us are comfortable with individual prayer. We're there. That's our bread and butter. We're good. But in the groups, in the church wide, we don't give time for this. A lot of times I hate it when I go to bigger churches and the pastors are like, pray, let's pray. And only the pastor prays. In the church, they're like, just pray along with me. But the pastor prays and that's it. In the body, we don't hear sometimes the body prayer. Or people in the congregation, the Spirit says, and the Scripture says that everyone brings a word or a hymn or a prayer. And a lot of times we're scared to release prayer in the body because we might get Sister Sally that might speak some weird prayer Our brother Tim over here might say something crazy. We want to keep everything nice and neat. But church, when we pray together, it's going to get messy. You may think in your mind, what am I praying? But someone back here might be touched by that prayer. And the Spirit might quicken that prayer to them. You might start praying in tongues or a word of knowledge or sermon. You're thinking, well, who is this for? And over here, Brother Kenny, man, that was for him today. And that set him on a course to be a faithful in whatever he was called to do. So when we pray together, be encouraged that you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to say it just right. You don't have to speak eloquently in King James English and thus saith the Lord or thus Lord. Or just speak from your heart and vulnerability and pray in the Spirit with your brothers and sisters here. And then lastly, we expect the Holy Spirit's assistance in both the prayer and the outcome. We expect the Spirit to take our prayers, take this to the throne room of God. But also we expect the Spirit to work in our community, in our families, in our relationship with our husbands and wife, with our grandkids, with our grown kids, with our bosses. We expect for the Spirit to speak through us and help us to be a bold witness for Him. And so I just want to remind us, this is verse 31 again. And when they had prayed, the place which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And so, church, I want to remind us today, speak the word of God with boldness. Ask the Spirit to come in your life right now and fill you with overflowing again. We all need that infilling again of the Spirit. So let's pray. And as we close here, let's just ask God to fill us as we go out here today. Father, we come before you and we ask that you would send your Spirit again here on us, on these temples, these individual temples. Father, send your Spirit to Sioux City again. Send your Spirit to the state of Iowa, to South Sioux City, to North Sioux City. God, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit on every church here that is calling upon your name, to every believer, every child, every young person, young adult that is calling on you, Jesus. May you fill them with you again, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to come pour out your gifts. Help us to pray when we don't know what to pray. Help us to speak in tongues. Help us to speak with words of wisdom and discernment, words of prophecy that would encourage and edify and uplift the body and those that are far from you. God, come in us today, right now. We need you to fill us with every situation we're facing right now. Once again, if you're facing something, let's lift it up to Jesus right now. Jesus, we come before you. We take a few seconds for the situation that we are facing. We ask you, God, to come in by your power and your might, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to come in and to show your strength and your power to heal and to restore and do things that we can't even imagine. Holy Spirit, come in this in our situations. Bring your peace and bring your comfort. Lastly, God, we pray that you would empower us to be bold witnesses. Let us go out today with our brothers and sisters and be a witness. And God, may we always come to you first in prayer. Because we know when we pray that, God, you empower us. And you change cities and you change lives, you change churches. And so, Holy Spirit, come right now. And we ask that in your name. Amen. Amen.